Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Rather than giving my boyfriend a traditional Christmas gift, I booked us a weekend at a cabin on Airbnb. We aren't super outdoorsy people, so I spent a lot of time searching for something with just the right amount of privacy. I wanted something secluded, but not desolate due to our lack of experience. I settled on a place on the outskirts of a 500-acre farm. It was right on the river, had an outhouse and outdoor cooking amenities. The weekend finally comes, and we are so excited to escape for a couple days. It's only an hour and a half from our house, but proved a bit tricky to find. The owner sent us the classic, turn in at the sign, left at the fork, right at the tree directions to follow once we made it to the approximate address he gave us. After ending up at another rental on the property and bumping into the housekeeper, we were finally on track to reach our cabin. We drove past pigs, cows, and the main farmhouse. It was beautiful and serene until we got to the final stretch of road. I use quotes because it was more of a hiking trail barely big enough for our truck. It was bumpy and winding and treacherous as hell. After hyperventilating for 10 minutes or so in the passenger seat, we finally reach the bottom of the mountain, cross a stream, and pull up to the cabin. The first day and night go as planned. We met one of the farmhands our first day, and the owner of the farm the second. Both were extremely friendly and helpful. Around 7 p.m. the second day, a truck pulls up and parks beside ours. We figured it was one of the people we had met, or maybe someone else from the farm stopping by to say hi. We were wrong. Three guys hop out of the truck and wave to us as if they are meant to be there. We are sitting on the front porch of the cabin and my dog starts going nuts. He's a 90 LB German Shepherd, so not only is it intimidating, it's loud as hell. I take him to the other side of the cabin and send my boyfriend to see who these people are. One of the guys asks him, "How's the fishing here?" My boyfriend replies that we haven't been here long and says he should ask the owner who lives on the property. The guy says something along the lines of, "Oh yeah, I know. We live around here. Just looking for a fishing spot." Okay, weird, but what can we do? I text the owner to let him know what's going on. No response. The guys fan out and start taking pictures of the property that I know I was in. They started taking videos of the property and themselves and are speaking another language. Naturally, I start sketching out and text the guy again. No response. They leave after a few minutes, and I text the owner letting him know they are on their way back up along with the make and model of their truck. No response. We agree that none of us would be sleeping that night, so we packed our shit and left. It's been 2 days and still nothing from the owner. I only interacted with him a couple times, but when I did, he was so personable, and it just seemed so out of character for him to not say anything at all. It could have been nothing, but it was obvious those guys had been there before and not looking for a fishing spot. Again, this was not some public place, or was it easily accessible by any means. They knew which way to go to end up at the river and were completely comfortable driving miles through clearly marked private property, passing the main farmhouse and driving down a mountain. For what I do not know, but I'm glad we never found out. Also, if you see this, hi, sister. Arrived and entered the house by way of the provided code for the electronic door lock. We had stopped to pick up groceries and some needed refrigeration, so we carried those in first. Which is when I discovered the fridge filled with food. Looked around and saw more food and personal items in the kitchen. Called out to no answer, so we walked around a bit. Imagine if you left your home for the day for work and a stranger walked in. This is exactly how it all appeared. Hurried back to the car afraid we were going to get the cops called on us and called the company who reassured us and told us the house owner had said he was going to get things cleared up, which apparently hadn't happened. This seemed like something the company should have checked, but they assured us it was fine to just push things aside. In the process of clearing things away into a large closet, we found half-used bottles of cancer medications and some paperwork which indicated the owner had been being treated for a stage 4 cancer. Between these and other paperwork found in the house, we are fairly certain the owner died and his children had the body transported back to where his wife was buried in a northern state. We guessed they arranged to rent the place out without ever coming to clear his belongings. I was staying in an Airbnb apartment in Paris, looking for a room to rent somewhere in the city. The apartment wasn't very good. Creaky floors, crappy bathroom, etc. What made it worse was the apartment next door was being renovated throughout the day from 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Non-stop drilling and hammering all day, every day. On top of that was the couple upstairs had a newborn baby, and the ceiling was paper thin so during the early hours of the morning, I would hear this screaming child hour after hour. So the worst part was after I'd returned to the Airbnb from interviewing for a room to rent that afternoon, I'd noticed that my clothing in my suitcase had been rifled through. Immediately, I checked my secret compartment where I'd kept my extra cash, and of course everything was gone. $300 stolen from my belongings. But here's the thing. My $2,000 laptop was on the table right next to it, as well as other expensive belongings, and nothing else was touched in the apartment. I'd also made sure I locked the apartment every time I left, and it was locked when I returned. I'm sure by now you've put it together that someone with a key let themselves in. Immediately, I call the host to discuss the problem, and her response ranged from, "That's not possible," to, "Maybe you put the money somewhere else." Naturally, I was furious, but I restrained myself and didn't accuse. She said she'd come in the morning to inspect the apartment because I'd decided to rent the room I'd found in the city. All she did was look around, check the lock on the door, and never said she was sorry or offered to refund my money for the stay. I left that place so angry, I still think about it and clench my fists. At least the people I moved in with after weren't total dicks. I was living in Japan at the time and went out to this club or bar one night. I meet another foreign girl there, and by the end of the night we walked to my place together as she had missed the last train, and I ran an Airbnb with plenty of empty rooms. While we were both visibly Western women, she didn't speak any English, but we were both fluent in Japanese, so we chose Japanese as our lingua franca. As we get out of the bar and walk down the street at 3 a.m., there is this little, scrawny-looking, middle-aged Japanese man in a suit, walking in front of us, and we quickly catch up with him as he is looking over his shoulder every so often, getting notably slower. When we get close, he turns around, asking us for directions to the train station, which is kind of strange for a Japanese to ask a Gaijin foreigner. Then again, it was 3 a.m. and not very crowded. We explain to him that the trains don't run after midnight, something a Japanese should know, and tell him from where to best hail a cab. He quickly manages to turn the conversation around from asking for directions to admiring our level of Japanese and how truly he just wanted to talk to us when he realized we were Gaijin speaking Japanese so fluently. We thank him and try to excuse ourselves several times as he desperately tries to keep the conversation going, which goes from randomly asking directions to, "I was curious about your Japanese," to starting to become somewhat clear that he had actually been at the same bar as us and already noticed us there. As we pressure to part ways, he suddenly gets very obsessed about exchanging LINE, the Asian version of WhatsApp, which I tell him I can't do, as my phone battery is dead. Again, he stops us from leaving, saying he was at least going to drop us his business card. He then proceeds to get out a wallet full to the brim with trash and random paper slips, going through every single slip several times while getting more and more nervous as he cannot find a card. This process takes him several minutes in which he begins stuttering, sweating, and getting more and more jitterish. As my company is tired and pushing to finally be on our way, he eventually pulls out a handwritten piece of paper instead with a username on it that he says is his Skype name, and to please contact him there, while again lamenting what a shame it was that we couldn't exchange LINE instead. I finally managed to assure him I'd contact him, and after awkwardly saying goodbye, he actually starts running down the street and around the corner. I chalked it off as a weird encounter and didn't think much of it. Until, somewhere that same week, my friend invites me to meet her in a town more than an hour away from where I live. We meet with someone there who lives way out in the suburbs, where there is absolutely nothing and really only residents frequent the area, if anyone at all. We stand at a bus stop to go into town, when someone approaches us from behind with the words, "Excuse me, can I ask for directions?" I turn around and immediately recognize the scrawny middle-aged man with his nervy mannerisms. He seems or acts surprised, but remembers me. We get on the same bus, and as he sits with us, he immediately jumps on the chance to ask me for my LINE contacts again, stuttering, jittering, and sweating as per usual. As soon as I give in and we exchange contacts, he jumps up and says it's his stop. He jumps out the bus and again starts running down the street and around a corner. Now this time around I was a little bit nervous, since the coincidence was extremely unbelievable. I knew he wasn't from around the area, and this far out in the suburbs was not a place tourists visited. Also, this was a completely different town where I didn't usually go, and it had been a couple of days after our first encounter, meaning, if he had intentionally run into me there, he would have had to know where I lived in order to follow me out of town. After he now has my LINE, he proceeds to send me a wall of text every other day, even when I hadn't answered, saying how I was his angel of giving directions, how he was incredibly lucky to meet me whenever he was lost, how he was looking forward to seeing me again and trying desperately to arrange another meeting with me whenever he was back in town. The whole thing stopped as I eventually left the country a couple of weeks later, and after asking me twice when I would be back in Japan, Corona happened and the borders closed, so he finally stopped texting. I'm having a hard time to think of him as an actual stalker, as I just can't imagine this level of commitment from someone I have literally no connection with, other than running into him on the street at night. However, sometimes I do wonder. It was definitely a strange encounter, ranging into creepy due to his antsy behavior. Update: the borders in Japan have loosened their restrictions a little, and stalker guy immediately texted me again to ask whether or not I am one of the foreigners that have been allowed back in. Thought I was through with him, but I guess not. This past weekend, myself and my boyfriend went away for a short break to the Shropshire countryside. For those who are not familiar, it is close to the Welsh borders, is stunningly beautiful, and is known for its sprawling hills and rural feel. The village we stayed in particular, was gorgeous, and the Airbnb we rented was set on a private road, with no other houses on, directly facing the hills. It must have been on farmer's land, unsure as the host was not a farmer, nor did he live on site, because the fields surrounding us were full of sheep and goats and horse. Honestly, it could not have been more idyllic. The perfect place for a short, romantic weekend away. The first two nights of staying there were great. We were out walking, exploring, hiking, and generally being tourists all day long, so we're not getting back to the place until later in the afternoon or early evening. Typically showering, cooking dinner, and chilling out. The rain had been on and off, so sitting out on the paved, raised terrace was not always an option, so we spent a lot of the night indoors, apart from when we would go outside for a smoke. The last night, however, it was perfectly dry and clear, so after coming home, showering, eating and changing, we took a pot of coffee and sat in the near pitch-black dark, looking over at hills and up at the clearest sky I had ever seen. Being rural, there were, of course, lots of animal noises around us. The sheep and horses, in particular, can make one jump, when unexpected, and they let of a sound or two, but there was nothing unusual about any of the country sounds we were hearing. Until I heard a scream. Now, yes, I am a city girl, and yes, I am not used to the sound of the outdoors as such, but I know that this scream was not normal. It was high-pitched, and it was close. My boyfriend didn't really react to it, instead telling me that it sounded like a deer. For the most part, he is a very clued-up guy. He doesn't tend to overreact and freak out. He says, "I do it enough for both of us anyway." So I listened and did not overthink it. Instead, I went back to stargazing, and was so lost in that I did not even see my other half rise up, and walk to the edge of the sensor light, looking out over the fields. When I did notice, I asked him what he was trying to look out, seeing as it was now pitch black out, and he said to me that he saw something walk along the fence. Me being me, freaked out, jumped up, and rushed to him straight away, because, yeah, I get creeped out easily, and as soon as I grabbed his hand, as if on cue, the screaming started again. But this time, it was more than one voice, and it was coming from multiple directions. I kid you not when I say I ran back into that house as quick as you can imagine, with my boyfriend following him. Now remember, I have been told that it was deer, yet I still locked the door and pulled the blind down over the glass before turning to him to ask what the hell that noise was. I have absolutely no bloody idea, but it sounded like people, not what I needed to hear. He would not lie to me knowing how freaked out I get, and for him to say that, he believed it. Needless to say, I was terrified and not looking forward to the night ahead. We could not hear them from inside, yet about an hour or so later, after calming me down somewhat, he went outside for a smoke, leaving me on the couch, and when he returned, he looked white. He was quiet as anything when I went out, till the sensor light came on and the screaming started again. Nope. We left the next day, and I have spent the last couple days trying to work it out. I am sure there is a plausible explanation, although I have no idea what it is, and despite my love of the paranormal, I am not putting it down to that. All I know is it was human-like screams in the middle of the rural countryside, with nobody else around, in the pitch black dark. That has to be enough to creep anyone out, right? We visited New York a few years back. We stayed in a cheap yet nice Airbnb with 5-star reviews. The catch: it was far from Midtown Manhattan, towards the end of Wakefield. This wasn't our first time, so we weren't that spooked. I mean, we stayed in Harlem and New Jersey before and didn't encounter anything weird despite its bad reputation. As tourists, we always try to return to our apartment before 9 p.m. But that night, we got a little lost. We reached the station and boarded the Wakefield train past 9 p.m. Sunday night, so trains were not that packed. We settled in the corner right beside the wall. Midway, a shirtless guy covered with blood entered the train. There were empty seats, but he just stood in the middle near the metal pole. He seemed intoxicated, couldn't stand straight, and was swaying a bit, blood dripping from his fingers. He had cuts and bruises, but no visible stab wounds or anything, which made us wonder where the blood was coming from. One guy asked him if he needed help. The guy answered in an angsty tone, "Why do you care?" We were hesitant to leave the train, unsure if there would be another Wakefield train. Also, stations in that area look sketchy at night. Imagine open-air stations on chilly weather. Either we'd die of hypothermia or get robbed. So we decided to stay. Scared to trigger the man further, we kept our heads down and avoided any eye contact. We were 5 stations away at that point. Imagine the anxiety we felt whenever a passenger left the train. Fortunately, we reached our station safely. We almost ran to our apartment and vowed not to stay out late again. I reported the incident to MTA via their Facebook page. They told us the guy left the train in peace. Hello, everyone. I'm not sure if I'm being paranoid or something, but I wanted to check with everyone if this would bother you. I was just getting a coffee this morning. After doing so, I was waiting at a light or crosswalk to cross the street. This is on a typical high street in London, for context. As the light turned, there was a man again. For context, he appeared to be of Nigerian descent who started walking. I didn't start walking yet as I waited for him to proceed and wanted to leave enough room between me and him out of courtesy and not wanting to tailgate. But as he started walking, he suddenly stopped and backtracked almost as if he was waiting for me to go first ahead of him. At that point, I just crossed the street, but instead of going my usual way, I went left instead and stopped at the corner to observe where he'd go. Sure enough, as he crossed the street, he headed in my direction. I glanced down at my phone and pretended to just check it. He walked slowly past me and down the block, but then paused again and turned around back in my direction. He looked uncertain as to where he was going, and eventually, as his line of sight was obscured by people, I walked down a different side street and went back to my Airbnb. I did not notice him following me thereafter. Is this incident concerning? Would you guys worry if this happened to you? I'm trying to figure out what just happened there. Any insight would be great. I have family in England on my mom's side, and we went to visit them and stayed in an Airbnb for a week. On one of the nights, not exactly sure which one, we decided to go on a pub crawl. My cousin, 19 at the time, my mom, dad, uncle, aunt, and my mom's uncle and cousins, and some other distant relatives were with us. We were at our last club for the night, and it was around 4:35 in the morning. The music was loud, it was dark, and pretty well packed. The only lights were a singular one from the bar and the street lights outside the big windows. By this time, everyone was shit-faced and just dancing, drinking, and all around not really paying attention. I was hanging around my cousin for the time being, not really conversating just by one another. I was looking around the pub when I noticed this tall man looking at me. I brushed it off, not thinking much of it. This continued for a while where I'd catch him looking at me. He was gradually getting closer to my family and me, and I started to get extremely uncomfortable. I also have very bad anxiety. Eventually, he came up to me and my cousin, and I kind of hid behind her. Now, mind you, like I said, this man was very tall. I want to say at least 6'4". Now, me and my cousin are short gals in 5'4", and she's 5'2". He starts chatting with us. I couldn't really hear what he said, but I heard clearly my cousin saying, "Well, I'm 19, trying to hint that I was much younger, and that he should back off. I stayed by my mum's uncle, such a great man at the bar, and still sort of behind my cousin. The man came back around and I got a good look at him. He looked like he was in his early 30s, I was 15 at. You could visibly see I was uncomfortable, but he wouldn't leave me alone. He got closer, and even dared to put his hand around my waist. I don't remember a lot in between this and us leaving, but I'm pretty sure my cousin noticed, and I got close to my mum who was wasted and not understand, and I held on to her and asked if we could leave. We did leave, and we were in the street, and my dad was ripping this guy a new one. My mum's other cousin, he's about 5 foot, and he was getting ready to throw hands, and my mum's uncle and cousin were also yelling at this man. Two younger guys from the pub stepped out and asked if I was all right and okay, all while my cousin held.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Me and I cried a bit, wondering what would have happened if my family stepped out for a bit or didn't notice, or if I had gone to the bathroom by myself. I am insanely grateful for everyone who was there and backed me up. I thought it was my fault, like maybe I should have wore a hoodie instead of a tank top, or didn't even go at all. I know a lot of people have gone through a lot worse, and that I'm very fortunate. And I'm sorry if I sound dramatic, I just really wanted to get this off my chest. And it's crazy who vulnerable and powerless one can feel in these situations. So this story is about 2 years old and happened right before the last Warped Tour in Atlanta, Georgia. At the time I was with my ex Cam. We don't live in Atlanta, so we were staying in an Airbnb downtown. On this particular night, we were looking for some fun, so we decided to check out an escape room nearby. We also had Cam's mom. Well, if you've never been to downtown Atlanta, it's kind of sketch for a tourist if you're not in the right part of town. Anyway, we are driving around near the escape room looking for somewhere to park, and we decide on behind the building. It's a short walk around some other buildings. No big deal, right? Wrong. Cam and I had left her mom in the car while we went inside the escape room to ensure it was okay to be parked out there. This is important for later. We are coming around the side of the buildings when we see a few people sitting under a tarp on what looks to be an old couch. As we are walking past, a man crawls out from under it and gets our attention and asks us for money. We explain to him we have no cash and that we are really sorry. He insists to us there is a store just up the block that has an ATM, and we are just trying to be nice and get him to leave us alone. We told him we were just there for the escape room and paid online and had no money. He kept insisting. Cam and I try to go in the escape room for someone to help us, but when we went inside he followed, and the lady working at the front made no attempts to help us. So we walk out. I at the time was a 18F, and she was a 20F. We were trying to get back to the car, but he kept trying to get us to come down the street to where this ATM was. He was pulling on Cam's arm to get her down there while I was holding tightly onto her hand. While he was trying to get us to go with him, he kept asking inappropriate questions about how we could be gay and how could we like gay passionate hugging. Many disturbing and inappropriate things. At one point, another man walked past who looked obviously homeless, and the man asked him, "Hey, isn't that store just down here?" The guy responded, "Yeah, man, for sure," and kept walking. By this point, Cam and I are very freaked out. Two girls alone with this strange man who could easily overpower us. It was scary. Cam instructed me to go grab the car. Maybe we have a couple dollars in there. I immediately understood. I ran as fast as I could to the car. Cam's mom was very confused, and I briefly tried to explain what was happening before rounding the corner to see Cam was still standing where I'd left her. Thank God. She tried to get in the car, and he grabbed hold of her, and she jumped in, and I drove off. When she'd gotten in, we parked somewhere else, and I'd noticed she'd been scratched. She said he grabbed her arm before I got back, and put some bracelet he had on her arm after asking her more disturbing questions about our sexuality. Luckily, we were all together again and safe. We were all very shaken. Where was he taking us? We'd passed by the area where he was taking us, and there was no store. What was he trying to do? Kidnap us? Sell us because we didn't have any money? After we parked again, the three of us went and found a police officer that was working by what I thought was maybe a trolley. We explained to him what happened, and he escorted us to the escape room. We were happy for his presence. It was definitely a terrifying experience. This happened during our long weekend getaway about a week ago. My friends and I decided we deserved a bit of a break away from our usual surroundings and targeted somewhere 3 hours away for a four-day weekend. We tried booking a beach house either south or central coast, but due to the demand with the pandemic and everyone wanting a local getaway, as well as school holidays, we couldn't find a suitable location to accommodate 14 people. Luckily, I found a place a five-hour drive away from our area, not the usual place we'd normally go for. This was a good one-hectare area, with an unusually shaped home in the middle of it all, with a saltwater pool right in front of the house. The next house was a good 500 meters away, or even more. We normally go for beachside accommodation, but due to the reasons above, we had to settle for this one. You could tell where the property ended as it was fenced around, but the gate was this chest-high metallic gate with a padlock which we didn't have a key to, which had a latch so pretty much anyone could just open and close it as they pleased. Important for this story. We didn't really worry about it that much as we were away from everyone else, which meant we could do karaoke or watch scary movies without worrying about noise. It was an amazing break and accommodation, but for one particular event. In total, we took five cars. We parked our cars close to where the fenced pool is with us as we came in staggered times. Check-in was at 3 p.m. on Friday, and nine of our friends were already there by the time we started our drive. They shared photos and videos of the place and were already enjoying themselves, the views, and the facilities. Myself, my fiancé, sister, and two other friends left close to 7 p.m. and got to the area past midnight. It was a creepy drive for the final 2 kilometers as it was extremely dark, and you had to drive past tall trees with no lamp posts and cross the train tracks to get to the entry of the place. Our friends greeted us at the gate as they were worried about the darkness. We parked our car and caught up with them before heading to bed at around 2 a.m. Saturday came, and we had brekkie, went for a drive up north to check out the sights, and went back before dark as we needed to use the outside grill for our dinner. I didn't really want anyone to hang out outside in the dark, as there's no visibility, you can't ever be too safe. We had drinking games inside, and the girls and I did karaoke while taking soju shots until 3 a.m. The next day, the topic was the fun we had the night before as one of the girls threw up from all the uncontrolled drinking. We had a late brekkie, and we planned to have sausage sizzle grilled sausage squeezed in a piece of white bread with caramelized onions and your choice of sauce BBQ or tomato if you're basic just kidding, for lunch, which again required the outside grill. I wasn't fussed as this was about 2 p.m., and most of us were just hanging about in the pool area, which is adjacent to where the dining area is, next to the grill. As we were eating, my view was towards the cars and where we would be coming from if we decided to go to the pool area from the main house. I saw this woman wearing a pink bucket hat, and I was wondering who it could be from our group and quickly realized she wasn't part of our group. I thought she was one of the distant neighbors, and we were too loud the night before, so the noise traveled, and she was there to complain. Others thought she booked the place, and there was a problem with the booking. But she approached and said, I apologize. I know you guys are here to have fun and have a bit of a break, but I used to own this place until it was turned into an Airbnb by the current owner. By this time, she was standing in front of us in the center, and she took off her hat, and we saw that she's most likely been through chemotherapy. I sold this house in 2018, and it was a very hard decision. I was wondering if I could take a look inside the house and maybe quickly show my friends what it looks like on the inside, as it is an architecturally designed home and is very unique. My fiancé's brother quickly said, no. While some of the girls were looking at each other considering her request, as she seemed genuinely emotional and looked like she's been through something, I followed up with, we're checking out tomorrow morning. I can contact the current owner and let her know that you want to check out the place after we leave. She quickly responded, no, it's all right. Are you guys from Sydney? We responded yes, and she said she now lives around there too and is staying nearby for the next week and was trying her luck in having a look at the house. It seemed she was establishing that she was the previous owner, as she mentioned that the new owners added an additional tank. Asked if the garden towards the back of the property has been removed because it was a problem before. She asked if the red chandelier still existed. We know that the chandelier is white, not red. And if we had access to all the rooms, including the ones next to the grill, we only had access to one of the two rooms. As the other was padlocked, we said yes. I quickly had a look towards the gate and saw that there was a 4WD right outside blocking the gate. One of my friends had the wit to ask for her name, and if she knew the current owners, so maybe she could ask them for permission instead. She responded with, my name's Karen, and we exchanged paperwork online, so I didn't really know them personally. She then asked if she could have a look around just outside, and we let her. About 30 seconds later, she comes back out, and she asked what the current owners have done to a part of the area. We mentioned we didn't know, and it's probably owned by the neighbor. She then responded with, oh, the owner's father owns that property. She thanked us and walked towards the gate, all the while checking out the house. I then messaged the owner, letting her know that there was a woman named Karen who wanted to check out the house. The owner then replied, saying, that's odd. There's no previous owner named Karen. We'll let the caretaker who lives down the road know about this. We created all these scenarios in our head. What if the padlocked room was what she wanted to check out? We didn't see her friends, so we didn't know who we had to deal with. We're glad that we didn't let her, as we don't know what anyone is capable of. Also, we pointed out her bravery in approaching a group of strangers to check out the house when she could easily contact the owner to ask her instead if she had a week in the area. We then checked out the property history and found that the house was built in 27 or after, was sold in 2013, and again in 2018. The property photos had the red chandelier prior to it being sold in 2013, which means it wasn't hers to begin with. Her spiel made it sound like she had the house built, and she lived in the property for 10 odd years. We were pretty much on edge that night. Every little noise, we would jump, assuming it's her and her friends coming back to have a look. Who knows what her plan was? I'm currently solo traveling through Denmark and have been staying in different Airbnbs. Just yesterday, I arrived in one I'd booked near Copenhagen. All the others were great, very higgleig. This one isn't great looking, which would be fine. It's cheap, and I'm only here for sleeping. When I went to bed, there was a spider on the ceiling. Bedroom is right below the roof. Ceiling is very low, so you can't stand upright. I thought, one spider won't eat me, and went to sleep. Then, just as I was drifting off, I felt something crawling on me. Turned on the light, sure enough, a spider. I smacked it dead, turned on my back, and the whole ceiling was covered in spiders. Some tiny, some bigger, they were everywhere. I'm really scared of spiders, so I don't know if someone who doesn't mind spiders would have reacted differently. But the thought of hundreds of spiders dropping from the ceiling and crawling over me was too much. Slept on the sofa downstairs, leaving for my next stop a day early to get away from the spiders. It happened 2 days ago. After having had great experiences with Airbnb, I finally came across a bad egg. I had booked what was presented in the ad as a full apartment. Looked really nice from the photos. Booked it, and all was well. For about a week. Then the red flags started showing. First thing was the owner did not give me any details as to how to get to the apartment despite the trip being 2 days away. When she finally answered my messages, she was extremely vague, and her answer to everything was, "It's all right. You'll get all the details once you get here." Once I got there, I was welcomed by this woman who basically showed me to a damp, stinky, and cold bedroom in which I could barely fit my luggage. It was clear by that point that I would not be getting the entire apartment. I thought that only for one night I could stick it out. As I was leaving early in the morning, and I had errands to run during that day which would have me rather busy. Boy, was that a mistake. As I discovered, the entire place smelled of cat pee. Shower was littered with these people's stuff. I only received a small hand towel. The entire place was freezing cold, and as I had discovered, the bedroom I was in was facing a highway and was not isolated at all. I had tried everything. Putting the heater to the max didn't work. That thing was as cold as ice, folding the thin blanket to get more heat, sleeping straight on the mattress, and putting the pillow over my head to muffle the sounds. Nothing. I spent the night awake from the atrocious constant car noise, struggling and freezing my butt off. Worst 60 euros ever spent. 10 or 10 would not recommend. Cusco, Peru in high season, most places booked. Lodging for 4 people. We find a great big place for a good price. Apparently, it was too good to be true. It was a hostel who was happy to host us in hostel dorms for a much higher than advertised price, but denied having a reservation. When I showed him the reservation and called Airbnb, whose staff was very helpful, he said he had to check something. After waiting for about an hour, I tracked him down, hiding in his office. The look on his face was priceless. Was obviously hoping if he hid for long enough that he would get the double payment out of us. I called Airbnb again, and they canceled the reservation, and we left. Innsbruck, Austria. We came in from Switzerland on the night train. We get to the apartment building, which has 12 different apartments, unsure how to enter. We call the host several times, leave several messages, no answer. We see a lady leaving the building with her dog. It turns out she is his roommate. She tells us there is no reservation, that the host is at a festival. But after showing her the reservation, she said we could stay for one night, which was the length of our reservation. Apparently, host had rented out his room for the festival. Forgot to leave a key with the roommates, and his phone died. While searching for an apartment in a new country, I stayed in an Airbnb until I found a place. I explained this to the host, and she was cool with it. Then one day, while I was out apartment hunting, I got a phone call from her. She had been in my room and seen that I had used her address on one of the forms I was filling out, which had asked for the address of the place I was currently staying. I hadn't thought much of it, as I had to fill out loads of forms when trying to get an apartment. She flipped out that I used her address without her permission. When I got back, all my stuff was left outside the front door, so I had to go to a hotel. A week or two later, I got a message from Airbnb asking me to rate my stay, so I obviously gave it 1 star. Then she sends a request for a huge amount of money for loss of earnings, psychological distress, abusive behavior, etc., and says if I don't pay, she will pursue it in a court of law. Absolute lunatic. A few years back, my buddies Lyle, Devin, and Darren, and I decided to go on a trip together. We had just finished college and were ready to blow off some steam and forget all about the stress of the real world, even if just for a little while. They trusted me to plan the trip because they said I was good at it, but I think they were just lazy. Even though I didn't mind, we searched on Airbnb to find somewhere to stay. We thought about getting a fancy condo or a penthouse. After about an hour of searching, I found something different, a remote cabin that looked old-fashioned. Some people might call it old and worn out, but we chose it. When it was time, we started our journey, and it took us about 4 hours to drive there. After that, we found out we couldn't drive right up to the cabin, so we had to park the car and walk in. The walk was only about 30 minutes, so it wasn't a big problem. Actually, I thought it made the experience better. The cabin was great. It was cozy and far away from everything, with lovely views of nature all around. It was just what we wanted. There were only 2 bedrooms, one had bunk beds, and the other had a big queen-size bed. We played rock, paper, scissors to decide who gets the big bed. Darren won, so the rest of us went to our room to get comfortable. Darren bragged a bit and then walked proudly into the main bedroom. We spent the first day hiking and looking around, but it wasn't all calm. On the second night, weird stuff started to happen. We heard strange sounds outside, like someone was walking around the cabin. We thought it might be animals at first, but the more it kept happening, the more worried we got. Then, I woke up suddenly to a loud noise from the kitchen. I thought someone had broken in. I got out of bed to check. That's when I saw him, a tall person wearing all black, going through our stuff in the cabinets. He wasn't even trying to be quiet. I woke up my friends, and we realized we were being robbed. We were far away from anywhere with no cell phone signal, and the intruder was still in the cabin. We all gathered in my room, trying to figure out what to do. I found an old fishing rod in the closet, and one of the other guys found a frying pan. We went back to the living room where we saw the intruder, but things got weirder. The intruder was gone, and we didn't even hear him go. Maybe we were so scared we didn't notice at first. We felt relieved because it looked like nothing was taken. We all kept our stuff in our bedrooms, and he didn't go in there. But then I remembered something. I left the car keys on the kitchen counter. I went to check, and they were gone. The intruder must have taken them. As I mentioned before, the car wasn't far on foot, but the guy already had a head start. Even if we made it there in the dark, it wouldn't help without the keys. On top of that, we were really scared. We couldn't call for help, so we agreed to stay in the cabin for the night. The next day, we walked to where we parked the car, but as we thought, it was gone. So, we walked along the road, hoping to find help, but it felt like we weren't making any progress. We were almost out of food and water, and we were scared we might run into the intruder. Suddenly, we heard a car engine in the distance. We were nervous, but we hurried towards the sound. We stopped the car, and the driver helped us by calling the police. When they came, we explained what happened at the cabin. They looked around and eventually found our car left on the side of the road a few miles away. They never caught the person who took it, though. The weird thing is, he didn't seem interested in taking valuable stuff or money. It seemed like the guy was in it for the excitement, like it was a game to him. He found it amusing to leave a group of guys stranded in a cabin at night. I wonder if he watched us while we walked down the road, enjoying what he did. Finally, being safe was a relief. Please No Anal Sex on the Bed is the title of my worst Airbnb experience. There were these lovely notes from the host all around the property about their life struggles and how they didn't want us to have anal sex or period sex on the bed. The wall to the bedroom booked as a private room was paper thin and didn't go all the way up to the ceiling, and there were several bunk beds in the living room and another bedroom, and we all got to share one bathroom. The bedroom itself was a small space with two thin mattresses smaller than normal single beds in size. The room was so small the door could only open when the mattresses were on top of each other. My partner at the time was unable to lie down fully stretched. The AC was so loud, we had to choose between lack of sleep due to heat or due to noise. It was in DC a couple of years ago. Since they had a rule of not leaving reviews, and thus also not getting reviews, they managed to stay on Airbnb for about half a year before they were removed.